Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Page, it says, but the fruit, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again, it's not the fruits, it's the fruit. They're not each individual. I've got love, but I don't have peace. I've got joy, but I don't have long suffering. It's the fruit. This is, he will develop every single one of these attributes within your life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Okay. Now, we're going to talk about patience tonight, because that's more what we know this terminology of long suffering is. Because if you look at the Greek word that we're going to break down and figure out what it means and where it comes from in just a moment, but it's actually the translation of long suffering or patience. So it can be translated either way. So depending on whether you read the NIV or the ESV or the New King James or whatever it is type of translation that you read, some may say long suffering and some may say patience, but they both mean the exact same thing. So long suffering and patience equal the same thing. Now, before we talk about what patience is, first let's determine what it is not. Because sometimes if you want to find out what something is, first you need to find out what it is not. Because once you understand what it is not, you can better define and have an understanding of grasping what it is. So here's what long suffering or patience is not. It is not tolerance. Okay? Here's what I mean by that. God was patient with us while we were still in our sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? And so when God was showing long suffering towards us or patience towards us, how many of you guys, it took you a little while to get your heart right with the Lord? You didn't get saved when you were six and live a perfect life, but you sowed some wild oats and you kind of had some rough years and you went here and there. Aren't you thankful that God was long-suffering with you during that time? But it did not mean that God was tolerating or condoning your sin. So when we are patient, it's not that we are tolerating or condoning or approving of sin, wrongful living, unrighteousness, but it means that we are patient with the person. So when we are patient, we're patient with people, but we're not tolerant of their sin. Meaning the age-old quote, love the sinner, hate the sin, right? So we're being patient with the soul of the person, but we are not tolerating, condoning the sin of a person. So patience is not an enabler. Now, when we look at the scripture, you understand that the Old Testament was written in Hebrew and the New Testament was written in Greek. And we find two different words for the word patience in the New Testament, okay? Now, we're going to focus more on the one that is in Galatians chapter 5, okay? For the word patience. And it is the name, it's the word makrothomia, okay? That's a mouthful right there. I'm not going to say it again. But it's made up of two different Greek words that are put together, which is how we get the word long-suffering. Because makros means long, and timos means passion or anger. So long-suffering, it's actually breaking down to long anger, okay? When you put those words together. So that means that when you are patient, here's what it really means to be patient, is that you don't have a short fuse. You're not quick to get angry. You're not quick to burst out in wrath. You're not quick to jump on somebody else's case when they mess up. Okay, that's what it really means, is to be long-suffering, is that you would suffer long with someone. When the reef starts leaking, when the roof starts leaking, when the car breaks down, when the dog gets sick, when your child gets sick, when your spouse messes up, you know, and doesn't pick up the grocery order, I've done that to my wife before, that you don't lose everything on them, but you are long, you suffer with them. And you don't jump on their case and you don't beat them over the head with their guilt or with their wrong, but you have long suffering with them. Because that word timos, where it says long anger, that word timos, if you look at the definition of that word anger, it means outburst of wrath. So here's what that means. Somebody cuts you off and you just lose your mind, right? I mean, you, until you reach your destination, you are talking about every poor decision that they have ever made in their entire life, and that's probably why they drive like that. They got their license at Kmart, and they're just an idiot because their mother probably told them they were ugly growing up, and you're just going on and on and on about what a terrible person they are because they didn't check their blind spot and they accidentally cut you off. That would be lacking patience, lacking long-suffering. And here's the thing, we do it every day, right? We laugh about it. You know why you laughed about it? Because it hit close to home, because it's true, because we all do it, right? Here's another one. The poor teenager making minimum wage flipping burgers at McDonald's forgets to not put pickles on your burger, and you open up that sack with the golden arches on it, and you cannot believe that they had the gall, the nerve, and the audacity to mess up your $4 burger. You're just, what are they teaching kids these days? That person, they can't even make a burger right. You don't know if their father's beating them at home, right? And they go to that job and they don't have the mental capacity to think the way that they should think because they don't have a healthy home life. And here we are losing our mind over a $4 burger that somebody forgot to take the pickles off of that we could just put the bun up, pick the pickles off of, and go back about our day, right? Or how about this? Your child accidentally spills their Coke, right? And you begin to ridicule them and go on and on. I can't believe that you would do this. Why do I even give you stuff like this? I remember one time when Judah was just 1 year old, I gave him a cup and he spilled it. So I gave him another cup of water and he spilled it. And I said something to the effect of, all right, fine, son, you're not getting any more water because you keep spilling the water. And the Holy Spirit said to me, aren't you thankful that God didn't cut off everything that he's ever given you because you decided to mess up everything that he has done before in your life? And I was convicted. I was cut to the heart. And I realized that the long-suffering of God is great in my life. And I need to have a greater long-suffering for those that are around me. So, but here's one thing you have to understand also, okay? So now that we've established that, to suffer long with somebody, you also have to understand that not all anger is bad anger. There is such a thing as righteous indignation. Righteous anger. That's why Paul would write in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't let that happen, but also realize that you can be angry and not be in sin. Okay? Because he wouldn't have said be angry and sin not. Also, if you look in the Old Testament, it says God is angry with the wicked every single day. So God, who cannot sin, has the ability to feel the emotion of anger, so therefore anger is not altogether wrong or bad. Okay, so let's talk about this for a second. This is your first blank that you can fill in. There is righteous anger and there is unrighteous anger. Okay, and we have to learn the difference between the two because unrighteous anger is something that we don't want to give into because when we give into unrighteous anger, we are also not operating or walking in the fruit of the Spirit. But we must have righteous anger if we ever want to be moved with compassion or moved to make a difference. Okay, righteous anger is fueled by things like this, abortion. We should have a righteous anger about abortion. We should be angry at the fact that every single day, every single year, millions of babies are being killed in the womb and most people aren't doing anything about it. We should have a righteous indignation about that. Things like rape. If you don't get mad that people get taken advantage of on a regular basis and get raped, then there's not a righteous indignation inside of you. Human trafficking, abuse, racism, wicked actions, disobedience, lying, cheating, anything that defies the heart and the word and the will of God is what should fuel our righteous indignation, our righteous anger. That's how we can be angry and sin not. When somebody does wrong against you, it's not wrong to get angry. It is wrong to react out of unrighteous anger and have an outburst of wrath against that person. But getting angry just means that you're human. Doesn't mean that you're wrong. Okay? So if somebody, you know, cuts off my family in the car and, you know, causes me to feel like my family was in danger, it's not wrong for me to get angry about that. It is wrong for me to respond out of that anger and begin to ridicule, tear down, complain, yell at, curse at those people. Because I have a job as to protect my family. And so I should get angry when my children are in danger, right? But how I respond to it determines whether it was righteous anger or unrighteous anger, whether I was long-suffering with that person or whether I was, you know, walking in the flesh in that moment. So Here, that's what, righteous anger is fueled by those things: rape, lying, cheating, disobedience, human trafficking, all those things. But unrighteous anger is only fueled by one thing. You know what it is? Your selfishness. That's what unrighteous anger is fueled by. It is fueled by selfishness. This is where we need patience that comes from the Spirit of God. Think about it. Anytime that you become angry and you have an outburst of wrath with unrighteous anger, it's because you were selfish and you were lacking in patience. You didn't suffer long with that person, but you reacted from your experiences, your flesh, right? Instead of having the righteous anger that comes from God, or having patience that comes from God. So righteous anger is... righteous anger is patient and leaves room for God to be the judge, okay? Unrighteous anger takes matters into our own hands. It's not patient, okay? So righteous anger realizes that they may have done me wrong, but God is the one that is going to bring vindication. God is my judge. God is the one that will take care of that. But unrighteous anger says, I'm going to take matters into my own hands, and I'm going to go and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, right? So let me give you an example. My child disobeys me and doesn't listen to me. Righteous anger is, I am still angry at the fact that they have disobeyed me, but I lovingly correct and discipline them. That's righteous anger. There's nothing wrong with being angry that your child is disobedient. You tell them don't touch that and they touch it. There's nothing wrong with getting mad. The thing is, how do I respond to their disobedience? Do I say, I can't believe I told you to not touch that again. Don't touch it again. And you start hitting them and you start cutting them down and you start, you know, tearing into them. And here's the thing is, if you do it, I'm using the analogy of a child, but this could be a coworker, this could be a spouse, this could be your mom, this could be your cousin, this could be your best friend. If somebody does something that you don't approve of, how do you respond? Do you suffer long with them, or do you have an outburst of wrath? Because if you have an outburst of wrath, you're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience, long-suffering. Righteous anger is, I'm angry at the fact that you did that, but I'm going to respond the right way. Unrighteous anger is, you begin to yell at them, belittle them, respond out of wrath rather than love, okay? But the Holy Spirit wants to empower you to be able to be slow to anger, so that in every situation, you are prepared to respond how He wants you to respond. That's why I gave you the fruit of the Spirit, so that you could respond to every situation in love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness. All these nine things that we're talking about, He has given us that fruit so that we can respond the way that He would respond, not the way that we think we should respond. Because the Holy Spirit's number one priority is to keep you holy. That's what He's here for. He's the cleanser. He's the sanctifier. He is the one that comes and He will convict the world of sin. The Holy Spirit is in your life. He's not just roaming around the earth. The Holy Spirit is seeking to live inside of us as temples, and His desire is to help keep us holy, okay? And that's why He produces the fruit of the Spirit. So let's do like we have done each week, and I want to look, I've got scriptures for you there. I want to look at, what does the scripture say about patience? Now, each of these scriptures that we're going to look up, they're the exact word that is used in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to describe patience, which is long and anger. Okay, so long, you know, not having an outburst of anger. There is another word in the Greek that is used for that patience is translated out. You can find it in like James chapter 1, where it says, let patience have its perfect work so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. It's a different word completely. Okay? Even though in the English it may be translated as patience, it's a different word. And that word actually just means endurance. Let endurance have its perfect work. Don't give up. Don't quit. Stay in the game. Keep believing. Keep hoping. Keep fighting. But it doesn't mean to suffer long or to not have an outburst of anger. It's a different one. So, but these that we're looking at, because we're correlating this to Galatians chapter 5, which talks about long suffering, you'll see that it is actually translated most times as patience, sometimes as long suffering, but it's the same exact Greek word that is used in all of these scriptures. So what does the Bible tell us about patience? What can we learn about patience? Number one, we can learn that God is patient. God is patient, right? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering, same exact word, He is patient toward us, not willing that any would perish, but that all should come to repentance. Like I said earlier, aren't you thankful that God was long-suffering concerning you? How many of you came to Jesus the first time you heard the gospel? Probably not, right? Most of us had to hear the gospel over and over and over again, and had to. And even once we received the gospel, how many of you have messed up since you received the gospel? Come on, He's long suffering. He is patient. He would that none would perish. His goal is not to destroy you. It is to empower you. It is to strengthen you. It is to allow you to become everything that He has called you to be. And so, because of that, if He were not patient and long suffering with us, He would have flicked us off the planet a long time ago, right? But He's long-suffering with us. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, Paul says, "But I received mercy for this reason." In other words, here's why I received the mercy of God. "As foremost, Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience." That word patience, the exact same word that we read in Galatians chapter 5. "As an example to those who are to believe in Him for eternal life." So Jesus Christ wants to display His perfect patience. If God is patient, don't you think that we should also be patient, right? Think about how many times you have been obstinate towards His word, yet He still treats us with love and kindness. That's what long-suffering actually looks like. That's what patience really looks like. If you want to know the definition of patience, look no further than the character of God. He is patient in every single thing that He does. In fact, we're not even looking at anything in the Old Testament, but in the Old Testament, it says literally God is slow to anger. That's what the word patience means in Galatians chapter 5. He is slow to anger, abounding in love. That's the kind of God that we serve. So number one, Scripture shows us and tells us that God is patient. If God is patient, therefore, we should be patient. And that leads us to the second thing. Is number two is we should walk in patience. The blank that you can fill in there is walk. We should walk in patience. Now, I accidentally copy and pasted the wrong verse for Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 on your paper there, but I have the right one and I'm going to read it to you, okay? It says in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord," this is Paul speaking, same person that wrote Galatians chapter 5. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have called." In other words, and then he begins to describe to us how we should walk. Because how many of you read something like, "Walk worthy of the calling with which you are called," and you're like, "Okay, now tell me how to do it," right? Like, I'd really like if you would lay it out. Well, he does exactly that right here. You need to read your Bible more if you're thinking like that. Verse 2 says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." I'm telling you, sometimes you'll go through some painful situations with people when you bear with them in love, but it's what we are called to do, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We must be committed to unity, but we can't have unity without patience, because if we don't have patience, the first time somebody messes up, we'll break off all unity, okay? But he says we have to walk in this manner. How? In patience and all those other things. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Paul writing again to the church at Colossae. He says, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in all the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience," or long suffering, "with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." So, in two separate writings, one to Ephesus, one to Colossae, Paul says essentially the same thing, that walking worthy of the calling with which you have been called, you should be walking in patience. I want each and every one of you to know tonight, if you're here, you have a calling on your life. Some people struggle with, do I have a calling? Is there a calling on my life? Listen, every single person that God created has a call on their life. But the way that we walk worthy of the calling, one of the keys to it is in being patient, having long suffering. You know why? Because the wrath of man, which the opposite of patience is an outburst of wrath, the wrath of man will never produce the righteousness of God. If we want to walk in righteousness, if we want to walk worthy of the calling with which we've been called, we must do so with patience, okay? Here's the third thing. The third thing is we are called to be clothed in patience. We're called to be clothed in patience. That's number three. Paul writes again in Colossians. Listen, the church at Colossae must have really needed some patience, because Paul was writing to them multiple times in the same book saying, hey, look, y'all, you need to be patient, okay? You need to be clothed in patience. You need to walk in patience. Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13, he says, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. That word put on that he starts with in verse 12, where he says, put on, beloved, that word put on means to clothe oneself. It means to sink into a garment, okay? You ever put on like a shirt or a hoodie or something that was just too big for you and it just enveloped you? It just covered you up. That's how God wants you to be with patience. That's how he wants you to be with all of these things, is by patience and by long suffering, the things that were meant to, with patience, you need to be clothed in it. Because if you go back and you read in verse 8, okay, we're in Colossians 3, verse 12. If you have your Bible open, go back with me to verse 8, because in verse 8, Paul had told the church at Colossae, he said, I want you to put off anger, wrath, malice. What's the opposite of patience? Outburst of anger, right? So in verse 8, he's telling them, you need to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. And so now if you keep reading in verse 12, he says, and then put on. Because once you put off the anger and the wrath of the malice, if you don't clothe yourself in something new, you'll end up going back to the old, okay? So make sure that you don't just put off the bad stuff, but you clothe yourself in the right thing. And patience, long-suffering, is one of the things that is meant to take the place of wrath and anger and malice as we are transformed and renewed by the power of God. So we should be clothed in patience, okay? Number 4, be patient in your evangelism, okay? Paul writes to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And he says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by the appearing of his kingdom, verse 2, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. So he's telling them, I want you to preach the word, but I want you to preach the word with patience. What does that mean? Only God can give the increase. So I see this two ways. One, don't get angry with them. If you're sharing the gospel with somebody at work and they're just not getting it, just stay patient. Suffer along with them. Keep sharing it. Keep shining that light. Keep being patient. When they see you operating at work, are they seeing somebody that's patient? Are they seeing somebody that is having an outburst of wrath? Are they seeing somebody that's loving and generous and kind? Are they seeing somebody that is hateful and rude and takes advantage of people? But just keep being patient with them, even if they're not coming around. But the second thing is, don't give up, right? He said, I want you to be patient. If you've been, trying to minister to the same person for 5 years and they're not having it, just be patient. Keep loving them. Keep inviting them to church. Keep pouring into them. Keep reaching out. Keep sowing, because one sows, one waters, and one day God's going to give the increase. And we can't make it happen, but we can be patient in our evangelism, okay? Here's the fifth thing. The fifth thing is that we should find patient examples in our life to emulate, okay? Because it says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So I want to encourage you this week, try to find the most patient person you know and study them. Find the most patient person you know and just study them, just like you would, study a book or study a topic and just look at their life and just go, what is it about them that's different from everybody else? Why are they patient when other people would be angry? Why are they long-suffering when other people would have written somebody off? Because Hebrews says that we should be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. But the other thing that you need to realize is patience is also a key to inheriting promises that God has spoken in your life. They inherited the promises. How? Through faith and through patience, believing that God would do it and being patient for God to do it on God's timetable. So if you want to see God's promises activated, fulfilled in your life, you're going to have patience. But if you're over there and you are not trusting God and you're trying to make it happen in your timetable, you might be missing the promise entirely, okay? I love what David said in Psalm chapter 40. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. There's a difference in waiting and waiting patiently, okay? Some people are waiting anxiously. Some people are waiting angrily. But David said, I waited patiently for God, meaning I waited and I decided, God, whenever you want to respond, whenever you want to answer, however you want to answer, I am just waiting and I'm waiting patiently. I have a still spirit. I have a calm spirit. I'm not trying to make something happen in my own time. So wait patiently before the Lord and you will inherit his promises. Amen. Here's the sixth and the final thing. We actually sang this tonight. Number six is, if you love someone, you'll be patient with them. If you love somebody, you will be patient with them. 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is what? Love's patient. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not boast or envy, and love is not arrogant. But the first one sometimes is a hard one to get into our mind and into our spirit, is that love is patient. Realize this. If you have a problem being patient with someone, then you actually have a problem loving that person. And what did Jesus tell us to do? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. In fact, he said, "This a new commandment I give you," right? And then he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself, because he said, on this hangs all the law and the prophets. In fact, if you read earlier in 1 Corinthians, it basically says that if you do everything right but you don't love, you haven't done anything right. Okay, you can give everything you have to the poor. You can give your body to be burned. You can, you know, speak with the tongues of men and angels. But if you don't have love, it doesn't profit anything, right? So love is patient. If you're not patient with somebody, you don't actually love those people. And realize that just that. If I have a problem being patient with my children, if I have a problem being patient with my spouse, I don't love them the way that I need to love them. It doesn't mean you don't love them at all. It means that you have not yet reach that place that it talked about earlier, that Jesus might display his perfect patience. What's perfect patience? Perfect patience is a patience that doesn't have any holes in it. It works at all times. There's not ever an outburst of wrath or anger. And listen, I realize none of us are perfect. None of us are at that place, but we could all stand to become more patient and to become more loving. So if I'm regularly having outbursts of wrath, then I need the love of God and the Spirit of God to bring about a transformation in my life. So I want to encourage you this week, ask God, baptize me in love for my family, for my neighbor, for my coworkers, for strangers that I'm going to meet, because I need to put off anger and wrath and malice and put on tender mercies and humility and compassion and love and patience. So if you've been having regular outbursts of wrath, realize you can choose, I'm putting that off, okay? That's what he said. He said, put it off. And so many times we think, maybe I need the pastor to pray for me so I can have deliverance. No, you just need to choose. I'm not going to be angry today. I'm going to clothe myself in patience. Okay? And we overcomplicate so many things. God gave us the keys of how to live a godly life right here in the Word. And I believe in preaching. I believe in laying on of hands. I believe in ministry. That's why we have this church. But I also believe that more people would be more effective Christians if they would read and obey the Bible and do what the Bible tells them to do, instead of always wishing somebody else would solve the problem for them. Okay? So realize God will show you exactly what to do. And part of the key is just saying, Holy Spirit, I want you to tend the garden of my heart, and I want you to make me more patient. I want you to make me more long-suffering. I don't want to have an outburst of anger or wrath when the car breaks down, when my coworker doesn't show up, and that means that I've got more work on my plate. Instead of getting angry at them, getting angry at my boss, I want to have patience. I want to have long-suffering. I want to be kind. I want to be flowing in the fruit of the Spirit. And here's the thing is if you don't get the fruit of the Spirit, and this goes back to what Tim was sharing, if you don't understand and walk in the fruit of the Spirit, nobody cares about your gifts, okay? But the Christian community is, especially the Pentecostal charismatic, is all about the gifts, but The world doesn't care anything about your gifts if you're not loving and you're not kind and you're not gentle and you're not patient, because if you're losing if you're losing your mind, losing your patience, losing, you're getting mad all the time, they're not going to ask you to pray for them when they're going through having a bad day. Why? Because you act the same way they act when things go wrong, right? So why would they want what you have when they've already got what you have? They've already got a bad attitude. Why do they want your bad attitude on top of it, right? But if you have a good attitude when things go wrong, they're going to go, something's different about that guy. Why don't they scream and cuss and get mad when things break down? Why don't they, do all the things that everybody else does, right? We should be different. And the fruit of the Spirit is one of the things that make us different, because you can't have the fruit of the Spirit unless you have relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. One way to realize within yourself that there's a relationship with the Spirit is there fruit of the Spirit. Am I loving? Am I joyful? Am I peaceful? Do I have patience, right? So let's be people that walk in the fruit of the Spirit that He has for us and be willing to be different than other people. Amen? Stand to your feet with me tonight. I just very quickly want to pray over you, and then I'll speak a blessing over you and to release you. I want to thank you once again for being here and for your faithfulness to the kingdom and to the church, for all your help with setting up and tearing down and being here. You guys are amazing people, and I thank the Lord daily that I get to pastor this church and that we get to be in Fort Payne, Alabama. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you that the Spirit of God will produce patience inside of us, but God, we still have to clothe it. And I just get this picture like having a coat that's in the closet. You still got to choose to put it on. The Holy Spirit will provide you the patience, but you've got to choose to be clothed in it, and you've got to choose to put off the anger, put off the malice, put off the envy, put off the strife, put off the worry, and choose, I'm going to be clothed in patience. And so I just speak that over you today. I pray that you would have the patience of Job this week, that you would be able and willing to be long-suffering and to not give up and not to lose your mind on people, not to have an outburst of wrath, but I pray just a fresh outpouring of the love of God, because love is patient. And as we have love for people, we'll be patient towards people. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up His countenance upon you. May He keep you in His peace, and may He smile all over you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.